Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 61 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sarah Mead.
This flood is special interest. It's for his wealthy donors, and so people are tired of that.
Amy McGrath made campaign stops in eastern Kentucky today.
The Republican Party of Kentucky has filed a complaint against a Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate.
Kentucky's governor addressed the state for the first State of the Commonwealth address last night.
Marijuana legalization seems to be off the table in Ohio.
Flu activity is on the rise, and some area schools have closed for the illness.
In sports, the Eagles are gearing up to hit the road this week.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low of 36. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A candidate that hopes to challenge Mitch McConnell in the November election visited eastern Kentucky today. Democratic hopeful Amy McGrath is among 10 candidates vying for the party's nomination in the May primary. McGrath says her focus for the primary is to make sure Kentuckians know she's the opposite of the incumbent Mitch McConnell.
I'm running because, like most Kentuckians, I've had enough of the D.C. establishment and dysfunction where nothing gets done. And so I'm somebody that served the country. And I think that right now what people really want in Kentucky is, and really around the country, are leaders who have proven that they can put this country and Kentucky above their political party.
Seven GOP candidates are challenging McConnell for the Republican nomination. McConnell has been in office for 35 years and has served as the Senate Majority Leader since 2015.
The Republican Party of Kentucky has filed a complaint against the McGrath campaign. WMKY's Rachel Turner has the story.
According to a press release on behalf of the Republican Party of Kentucky, the organization filed a complaint against Amy McGrath for Senate, its treasurer Chris Patton, and campaign manager Mark Nicholas. They allege violations of the Federal Election Campaign Act and Federal Election Commission regulations. According to LEX 18, the complaint alleges Nicholas knowingly and willfully solicited illegal soft money contributions for a pro-McGrath super PAC. The RPK alleges he also solicited funds in excess of the legal limits for a super PAC. The party is asking for immediate investigation. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Democratic Governor Andy Beshear used his first major speech to a joint session of the General Assembly to press for teacher raises, health care guarantees for those with pre-existing conditions, and a return to civility. But reviews of the State of the Commonwealth address were split down party lines. Keeping with the conciliatory tone he struck since taking office, Beshear reiterated his call for full funding of state pensions, infrastructure investments, and an across-the-board $2,000 raise for teachers.
See, we figured out how to give tax incentives to corporations, so I know we can figure out how to pay a living wage to the men and women who get up at the crack of dawn every morning to open their classrooms, who stay late to grade papers, and give everything they can so our children have every opportunity.
Also on the governor's agenda, a constitutional amendment restoring voting rights for nonviolent felons who have served their time, ending surprise medical billing, and a hint that his upcoming budget may halt the state's ongoing cuts to higher education.
While Democratic lawmakers liked what they heard in Governor Andy Beshear's first State of the Commonwealth address Tuesday night, Republican leaders say they heard little that would change their minds about the governor's call for expanded gaming. WUKY's Josh James has more.
In a press conference following the speech, House Speaker David Osborne threw cold water on the proposal, saying Beshear's estimate of $500 million in annual state revenue from gaming was wildly inflated, and the governor offered no new ideas to dig the state out of its financial hole.
It was nice to hear that he is committed to funding, fully funding pensions. But we know with those additional costs that we are well short, and with the exception of expanded gambling, he's offered no way to pay for any of that wish list.
But Senate Democratic leader Morgan McGarvey sees a governor who is building relationships with members of both parties as he prepares to unveil his budget.
This governor came in with an agenda. He got elected to do it, and he's wanting to do it in a bipartisan tone. You see him reaching out to the legislature. You see it in this speech. You see it in the personal actions and the relationships that he has with the leaders of each party. I think he is doing a far better job than we've had the last 4 years.
Republican leaders in both chambers sounded open to a sports betting bill, though neither would commit to a floor vote if the measure passes committee. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
Public health advocates, business leaders, and students gathered in Frankfort on Tuesday to urge lawmakers to pass stricter vaping laws. Abby Hefner, a high school sophomore, tells WKYT about her experience with vaping.
When I was a freshman in high school, my first year, I was at a football game and I was exposed to the product and I was immediately hooked. And it took me over a year and four separate Juul devices to finally quit.
Studies show middle school vaping has quadrupled in the last 2 years in Kentucky, and high school vaping has nearly doubled. Last year, the members of the Coalition for a Smoke-Free Tomorrow aimed to lower those numbers through a tobacco-free schools bill. This year, the rally focused on taxing e-cigarettes and increasing funding for cessation efforts.
Kentucky's sole abortion provider is now able to reapply for a license. KNN Haley Hansen has the story.
Last year, then-Governor Bevin's administration denied Planned Parenthood a license to perform abortions, accusing the organization of providing close to two dozen illegal abortions at its facility on 7th Street in Louisville. A judge had previously found that Planned Parenthood had been following the law. In a letter sent this month, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services said the former administration's decision had been rescinded, adding that Planned Parenthood could reapply for a license to perform abortion services in Kentucky. I'm Haley Hansen.
A bill to legalize sports wagering and regulate online poker and fantasy sports operations in Kentucky is on its way to the House after receiving committee approval today. WMKY's Kenny Lee Roberts has the story.
House Bill 137 sponsor Representative Adam Cohen said the legislation is expected to help Kentucky recoup tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue it loses annually to legalize sports betting in surrounding states like Tennessee, Indiana, and West Virginia. Kentucky is expected to draw at least $22.5 million in new tax revenue annually under HB 137 should it become law, according to economist John Ferris with Commonwealth Economics, who testified alongside Cohen and fellow HB 137 sponsor Representative Al Gentry. Ferris said an estimated $1.6 to $2 billion is illegally wagered on sports in Kentucky each year, equating to $140 million in illegal profit that is not currently taxed. Unlike the 2019 proposal, HB 137 would allow wagering on in-state sports teams, among other changes. Legislation similar to HB 137 has also been filed in the Senate. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Cases of RSV are on the rise this time of year. The virus feels a lot like the common cold, but Dr. Alex Suanikis with Baptist Health in Lexington tells WKYT it can manifest itself as a wheezing cough in older adults or young children.
Well, RSV is a virus, respiratory syncytial virus, which is more commonly associated with pneumonia in infants and children, but it can be occasionally associated with pneumonia in adults. Particularly in those that are more susceptible, that have chronic lung disease, that are older.
Suanikis says people with COPD or chronic fibrosis may be especially susceptible to RSV. He recommends washing hands frequently and disinfecting doorknobs and cell phones to avoid the virus.
Flu activity is also widespread in Kentucky. The Lexington-Fayette County area saw 40 new cases just last week. Pediatrician Dr. Catherine Hood tells WKYT there have been 8,000 cases so far this season.
We have seen major increases starting about the time Thanksgiving hit. We were really busy over the December, especially right before the holidays. So once people travel or their relatives come in, they pick up new things and then go back to school and spread all the new things from the holidays.
Hood says she is still offering the flu vaccine to anyone who does not have it yet, especially children and the elderly. She says while the vaccine does not always prevent the flu, it does lessen the effects. Hood also advises wiping down surfaces often and getting treated quickly after getting the flu.
School officials in Owsley and Wolf counties have canceled classes for the rest of the week due to sickness. The Owsley County Board of Education said on its Facebook page that the schools will be closed Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the days will be credited as NTI days. The Wolf County Board of Education said on its Facebook page that widespread illness was forcing it to close through Friday as well. Both schools noted that classes also will be out Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Classes are also canceled countywide Wednesday in Lawrence County, Kentucky, due to illness, according to Lawrence County Schools.
Health officials are investigating a potential infectious disease case in Barbersville. WMKY's Lacia Hennenberg reports.
A student at Union College is under quarantine at the Barbersville ARH Hospital. WKYT reports hospital officials are not allowed to share the specific patient case, but they have ruled out airborne illness. Union College's president, Marsha Hawkins, says the student has not contracted Ebola and did not leave the country over winter break. The hospital is still running normally, and the illness has not impacted the rest of Union's campus. For WMKY News, I'm Lacia Henneberg.
Robotics are helping some people learn to walk again. The locomat at the Pikeville Medical Center has helped victims of neurological injuries regain motor function. Tracy Tipton is a physical therapist in Pike County. She tells WYMT, relearning to walk is a difficult process that is made easier when the locomat takes weight off the spine.
We saw changes automatically as first person we put in it. Just seeing that little kid be able to go to school on crutches and not on a walker, you know, that's just rewarding in itself.
Tipton says the technology uses biofeedback to pinpoint problem areas and specialize the therapy to each patient.
A summit to promote local and sustainable food systems in Kentucky is planned for next month. The second annual Kentucky Local Food Systems Summit is scheduled for February 26th at the University of Kentucky's Gatton Student Center, according to a statement from the Agricultural Department. Participants will learn about issues including agricultural research, market development, community nutrition, and public policy. Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles says the goal of the summit is to encourage conversations that will grow the economy, create jobs, and support Kentucky's farm families. Lillian Brislin is the executive director of the Food Connection. She says she hopes the summit will help develop strategies for sustainable food systems.
Kentucky farmers are participating in Farm to Food Bank program, which distributes produce to local food banks. Governor Andy Beshear spoke at the state capitol Wednesday to show support for farmers in the program. Scotty Lee, a third-generation farmer in western Kentucky, says the produce that is the most nutrient-dense foods available.
You know, the average person might not realize that this produce that we're salvaging and putting in this Farms to Food Bank program, this is probably some of the most nutrient-dense food that those people that are in need are going to be able to get a hold of. And it adds to our farm's efficiency by being able to have a market for that extra that we might have. That all goes into the pot that helps us pay expenses and labor.
Farms to Food Banks is funded by a state budget appropriation of $500,000 annually. Private donors such as Farm Credit Mid-America and the Novak Family Foundation, and by Kentuckians who choose to donate a portion of their state tax refund to the program. More than 3 million pounds of fresh produce were given to food banks to be distributed to communities last year.
The legalization of marijuana for recreational use apparently won't be happening anytime soon in Ohio. Governor Mike DeWine calls legalization a mistake, but supporters of the idea disagree. Ohio's medicinal marijuana program launched in January of last year with just a few dispensaries and grew by 46 by the end of the year, with more than $56 million worth of products sold. Deputy Director of the Marijuana Policy Project, Matthew Schweik, says it isn't a far reach to say recreational sales could be an economic driver.
Has legalization greatly benefited state economies? We can't say that for certain because economies are complex. But by all accounts, these legalization laws are creating businesses, creating jobs, generating tax revenues, and I think that's part of the reason why voters like these policies.
In a November 2018 poll from the Pew Research Center, 32% of U.S. adults say they oppose marijuana legalization, compared to the 52% in 2010.
Taking a look at your region's weather for tonight, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Thursday, mostly sunny with a steady temperature around 38. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 23. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 37. Friday night, a 60% chance of rain and snow, cloudy with a low around 34. Saturday, a 90% chance of rain with a high near 52.
Taking a look at your region's temperatures, it's 63 degrees in Mount Sterling, 56 over in Ashland, 64 degrees in Winchester and in Inez, 58 degrees in Grayson, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 61 degrees. On our feature segment this afternoon, it's been 5 years since a rural phone company in eastern Kentucky completed the installation of super-fast fiber optic cables across two counties, giving every home and business in the region high-speed internet. Nadia Romlagon reports on what's happened since then.
Today, advocates say that $50 million investment has brought an influx of jobs to the region, mainly in tech support. Keith Gabbard is CEO of the People's Rural Telephone Cooperative in Jackson County, who spearheaded the effort. He says the area's unemployment rate has shrunk from 16% to nearly 5%.
In the two counties we serve, we've seen over 1,000 jobs created. In both of our counties, over half the people actually typically drive to a surrounding county to work. So that's the norm. Some of these people are working for Apple. They're doing tech support for Apple. They're working for a lot of different companies, and all of them are paying more than a lot of the minimum wage things that are available around here.
Fiber optic cables transmit electronic information at faster rates than standard copper wires. According to the Fiber Broadband Association, around 18 million households in the U.S. have this type of broadband service. For some residents of Jackson and Owsley counties, high-speed internet has changed life in other ways. Gabbard says local veterans who can't make the long trip to the nearest VA clinic can now speak with healthcare providers by video conference at the local public library, where his company has enabled free internet access.
So we worked out a partnership with our local public library. That's something the veterans are using more and more. It's really been well received. Their veterans are spending all day to go to the VA clinic in Lexington, Kentucky.
While he acknowledged that broadband can't solve all the region's woes, Gabbard says it's bringing real opportunities to many Appalachian families.
$50 million, we build 1,000 miles of fiber at about $50,000 a mile. I have to say, it's probably the best investment our company ever made. We did not envision how important it would be when we first started.
He adds the money for the project came from various sources, including federal grants and loans. For Kentucky News Connection, I'm Nadia Romlagon.
It's 448 and 63 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Sarah Mead and Zoe Hall, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this oddly warm Wednesday afternoon. Keneally Roberts has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org. The Eagles hit the road this week. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts. The Morehead State University men's basketball team is preparing for a four-game road stretch.
The Eagles are currently enjoying a 3-game win streak with their most recent victory against Eastern Illinois Saturday, 69-66. Head coach Preston Spradlin says team morale is high as they prepare for their matchup with Tennessee State tomorrow.
You know, everybody's feeling good. Obviously, it's nice to be at home here for the last 5 games. Getting the last 3 here was big, and so it gives us some momentum. The guys are playing well. We've had a number of different guys step up, and so it gives us some confidence and some momentum as we head on the road right here for the next 4.
Tip-off in Nashville tomorrow evening is set for 8:30. The Morehead State University women's basketball team is preparing for a 4-game road stretch as well. The Eagles came up a little short in their matchup with Eastern Illinois Saturday, falling 57-51. However, head coach Greg Todd says the team is ready to bounce back in this big week of conference play.
This week, first time we've been on the road in the Ohio Valley Conference, and got Tennessee State, which is never an easy place to play. And, of course, Belmont is preseason pick number 1, and they lost to UT Martin on Saturday, but they always have a great team. Got a tough road trip, but looking forward to it.
The team is set to tip off against Tennessee State tomorrow at 6:30. The Morehead State soccer team has been awarded for its performance in the classroom during the fall 2019 semester. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
The Eagles received the Team Academic Award from the United Soccer Coaches. For a team to be considered, it must have a composite team grade point average of at least 3.0 on a 4.0 scale for all team members who appear on the official NCAA roster. The Eagles turned in a composite team GPA of 3.5 in the fall. Senior Ellie Weber, junior Katie Colbosa, junior Lauren Kuntz, junior Holly Logson, sophomore Nicole Palmer, sophomore Colin Swift, and freshman Caitlin Setters turned in 4.0 GPAs during the fall semester. The Soccer Eagle closed a 4-12-2 season back in October. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The University of Kentucky basketball team is gearing up for their game against South Carolina tonight. The Wildcats are coming off a win over the weekend against Alabama 76-67. Associate head coach Kenny Payne says if the team is going to continue to win, they need to make some changes in their strategy.
Guys sometimes want to rely on scoring the ball because that gets your name in the paper, that gets you notoriety. E.J. Montgomery is a 6'10", great passer, who is now saying, I got to get a shot, I got to get a shot. You don't have to get a shot. The shot will come to you.
Tip-off in South Carolina this evening is set for 6:30. Former University of Kentucky player and current Jacksonville edge rusher Josh Allen has been named by Pro Football Focus and the Pro Football Writers Association to their all-rookie teams. It was announced on Tuesday. According to WKYT, Allen led all NFL rookies this past season with 10.5 sacks. The former Kentucky Wildcats All-American was the number 7 overall pick in last year's draft. Allen finished with 44 tackles and 11 tackles for loss. And finally in sports this afternoon, legendary broadcaster Kaywood Ledford has been voted into the National Sports Media Association Hall of Fame. Ledford was a 39-year voice of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, calling Wildcats basketball and football games on a network that stretched beyond the borders of the Commonwealth. Ledford also called play-by-play on the national broadcast of the NCAA Men's Final Four on the CBS radio network, as well as several Kentucky derbies. Ledford died in 2001. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball welcomes OVC opponents Southeast Missouri on Thursday, January 30th, and UT Martin on Saturday, February 1st. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Barrett. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose today but gave up most of their gains heading into the close, even after the U.S. and China signed a highly anticipated Phase 1 trade agreement, as most of the details were already known and investors anticipated some speed bumps on the way to Phase 2 signing. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 90.55 at 29,030.22. The S&P 500 was up 6.14 at 3289.29, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 7.37 at 9258.70. The U.S.-China trade agreement includes provisions to curb intellectual property theft along with forced technology transfers. It also increases Chinese purchases of U.S. products. To be sure, the deal does not remove existing U.S. Tariffs on Chinese imports and leaves questions as to how the terms of the agreement will be enforced, and the deal is seen as fragile as such by some analysts who believe additional levies could still be implemented. Sentiment was aided earlier amid comments from White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, who said the Trump administration would unveil more tax cuts later this year, and Wall Street also kept an eye on corporate America as the earnings season kicked into full gear. Bank of America reported quarterly results that beat analyst expectations as bond trading revenue ripped higher. Goldman Sachs posted a revenue number for the quarter that surpassed estimates. BlackRock, United Health Group, and PNC Financial also posted quarterly earnings that beat analyst expectations. And so far, of the 30 S&P 500 companies that have released their quarterly numbers, 82% of them have posted better-than-expected profits. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5% at $57.96 a barrel. In Europe, stocks were quiet, with the Stock 600 index up less than 0.1%. Most Asian markets were weak overnight, as the Nikkei was down 0.5%, and the Shanghai Composite was also down 0.5%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Walmart down 86 cents at $115.32, U.S. Bancorp down $1.61 at $54.98, Delta Airlines up 17 cents at $61.62, Marathon Petroleum down $1.67 at $58.17, and Yum Brands was up 53 cents to finish at $101.25. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250. Facebook and online at MooreheadRecycling.org.
Taking a look at your region's weather forecast for tonight, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy skies, a low around 36. On Thursday, mostly sunny, a steady temperature around 38 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low around 23. On Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 37. Friday night, a 60% chance of rain and snow, cloudy with a low around 34. And for your Saturday, a 90% chance of rain with a high near 52 degrees. Currently, here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University, it's 63 degrees. Taking a look at some events coming up around the region. On display at the Rowan County Arts Center on Main Street in Moorhead is a watercolor exhibit entitled In Memory of Mildred Stanley. On display through January 17th, the exhibit is open to the public weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
A blood draw sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Kroger from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, February 1st. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free t-shirt.
The Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg presents Wolf County, Kentucky native and country music artist Tyler Booth, in concert at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 8th. Reserve seat tickets are priced at $17 and $22.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will conduct its annual meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, January 27th. The meeting will be held at the Rowan County Public Library. Season ticket holders and all members of the society are invited to attend.
The Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg presents Kentucky native and country music legend John Conley in concert at 7 p.m. on Friday, February 28th. Tickets are priced from $38 to $65. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Lucia Hennenberg, Sarah Fashipe, Nacogdoches Miller, Rachel Turner, Chaz Jenkins, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from the Kentucky News Connection's Nadia Romlagon. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sarah Mead and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. Stay tuned. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.